It's 74 degrees in Kalamazoo. 590 WKZO is what you're listening to, and it is the Jeremy Lawrence Show. This portion of the program brought to you by the Cancer Control Coalition of Southwest Michigan. Glad they're on board with us. Glad you're on board with us, and it is a Friday, and I know you know that. You've been through the day, the whole day, and you're looking at your watch right now going, all right, just an hour and maybe about 52 minutes. See, I know you're counting down. So you know what? We're going to make it pleasant for you with lots of good stuff. Lots of things we're going to be talking about today. I'm going to talk a little bit about what's going on out in Missouri. I've avoided talking about it to this point, and I want to spend at least a little time on it. Not a lot, but a little time on it, because I think there are some things that need to be said about it. There's been an awful lot of outrage, a lot of different things that have been tossed about. And I think, you know, there's just a couple of things to be able to acknowledge on any side of the debate. So we'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. Going to dig into some topics. And a lot of this surrounds what is happening in the state of Michigan politically. There are some things going on that may not be in a good direction, or they might be. Just depends on your viewpoint anyway, but we'll talk about that. And, of course, at any given time you want to be a part of the program, we will take your phone calls. You can be a part of the program by dialing in toll-free at 877-382-4280. If you're local, it's even easier, 382-4280. Or if you're in a hurry and would rather not chat with us, just want to leave your comments, you can do so at 803-73 and share your appropriate comments with us. Today, Michael out once again. I guess for some reason he just feels the need to break away from me. So once again, we have the inestimable talents of Derek on board. Good afternoon, Derek.
Good afternoon.
All right. So you'll be talking with Derek there. He's a very nice guy. So treat him very nicely. He'll treat you well. If you don't treat him nicely, I'm not responsible for what happens. Okay,
well, thank
you. I'm just gonna say. So we're glad to have Derek on board with us. And some good stuff coming up as well before we dig into our topics. Sometime today, sometime in the next couple of hours, I'm going to be giving away tickets to a first-run movie. You've been seeing the previews of this. Been seeing them online. You've probably seen them on television, seen them around places. For a movie called The Giver. Kind of a dystopian sci-fi thing. Yeah, it kind of goes along the lines of Hunger Games and all that, but looks to be a little different. So I've got four tickets for you to be able to check that out, and that is at Celebration Cinema in Portage. Fine place to go see a movie. One of the best in the area, I might add. And four tickets so you can be a hero to all of your friends. We'll give those away sometime during the course of the program. And you know what? We're going to make it easy on you when we do that, because this is the one time we can say Michael isn't looking. So when he's not looking, there's no dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia. I feel like I'm getting away with something here. So we'll give those away sometime during the course of the program. Also in the blog section, because we like to talk about things of a serious nature, the blog posts of the day. You know, there's a labor union out there that has come out and said they've got a problem with Obamacare. But you'll be interested to see the way that they do it. So I talk a little bit about that in a blog post of the day. Check that out as well. Along with our video of the day, it's actually two videos of the day, because this one was too good to keep contained in one. There's a guy that likes to cell phone crash, basically follow people around that are talking on their cell phone and then answer them on his own cell phone next to them. Well, he does this at the beach, and there are some hilarious results there. Lots of fun. A couple of different videos we share with you. It's cell phone crashing at the beach. All of that in the blog section at WKZO.com, and all of this eventually makes its way to our Facebook page, where you can be a part of it there as well. Go to WKZO.com. If you're not hooked up with us on Facebook, click on the Facebook link and hit like. Then you'll like us and everything will be good. You know, we want to look out for you, because there's good stuff there and we want to share it with you very, very badly. All right, a couple of things that are going on. And we've heard about this one since the primary was over, and it was the whole Amash Ellis race, which we all pretty much knew. All right. Justin Amash is the guy that's going to walk away with this. Now, the interesting thing in the what happened that night is, you know, Ellis called Amash and you know, gave him his concession and just said good luck and, you know, look forward to talking to you, that kind of thing. And Justin Amash came out that night and said that Ellis owed his family and the district an apology and talked about the divisiveness of the campaign, did that within his victory speech. And there's been a lot of talk about that. There's been a lot of talk about why did he do that? What was involved with that? Why did he dig into that in that way? And you remember, I mean, and I even came on this program and said, of the Ellis campaign, really? You're calling Amash Al-Qaeda's best friend? Because we remember seeing those in some of the commercials. Whether you were voting in that particular district or not, that was a pretty big deal, and that was pretty nasty. And Justin Amash talked about in his victory speech just how nasty it was and how awful it was and that kind of thing. Well, he goes on to talk about the nastiness of the campaign. This was in response to an editorial that took place in the Grand Rapids Press. Amash penned a piece that got shared there and asked why. Why did the district have to endure what was called the ugliest House primary in the country? And he dug into it a little bit. He talked about the different smears and things that were brought out in that. And he talked about why, addressing a little bit, why he made the comments he did. He talked about standing up to the bullying that was taking place. Said that the tactics crossed the line and shouldn't be tolerated in the community. He says, that's why on election night I called my opponent's smears disgusting and despicable. They were, and shrugging off those types of attacks, reciting platitudes about moving on, simply encourages more of the same. He goes on to talk about, he said he would not be a typical politician, wants to challenge the political class with his dedication to liberty, accountability, and the concerns of everyday Americans. And I find it interesting that he brought that up. Normally people that are on that, whether it be libertarian or otherwise, are often accused of being divisive in the party and that kind of thing. Now, I don't know that that's deserved or undeserved, but it seems like the further right that people are, the more they are devoted to that sense that, well, it's my views that are what we're going to do here. And I'm not saying that about Justin Amash, but you sense that. And I have sensed it just from people that I have interacted with in that it's this feeling of, well, it's got to be this way or no way at all. Now, you know, I think in this case, there was some nastiness there. It needed to be challenged. He did. I don't know that it needed to be challenged in the victory speech. But the interesting thing that Justin Amash has done is he and his challenger on the Democratic side, Bob Goodrich, actually sat down for a meeting today. They just discussed some various things over coffee this morning. And it was about half an hour. They talked about the primary and how they would engage with one another. They agreed to doing some joint forums, basically debates, to discuss issues that are facing constituents. Said they didn't dwell on the issues too much themselves. They just agreed to talk about them more openly with residents. Now, it's interesting to see the two of them sit down, and I think it makes for a good sign at the very least in that particular district. Now, I think, you know, Justin Amash very likely will be the one that wins the district. Now, we don't have polling data and that kind of thing, but it tends to be conservative. So you see that. But to see these two sitting down and talking about this and agreeing, yes, we're going to get together and talk. Yeah. The interesting thing about it is Amash spokesman Will Adams had a statement that he sent on the email. It says, that it was a statement from Amash. He says, Bob and I had a good discussion today. We both expressed our desire to have a campaign focused on the big issues facing our country. I'm optimistic that it'll be the type of civil and substantive campaign that West Michigan deserves. And I find that interesting, and I hope it ends up being true, that there is truth in that this campaign is going to be one that is on the issues. It's going to be one that is about the issues instead of best friend of Al-Qaeda and things like that. We don't need that sort of thing. But I think, you know, digging into, and I made some comments earlier about how it seems like, and you know, it's not just the far right, but the far left does the same thing as well. This sense of, well, it's got to be what I think, and that's it. And you see that from the president. You see that from the way that he has reacted to things that, well, you know, people need to, they need to be able to compromise, which in the president's eyes means agree with me. And that's generally what he calls for in any of these calls for compromise. And I think on the right, you see this sense that, well, you know, compromise is so bad. Compromise is not a good thing. I had a debate one time with someone who was a former congressman, someone who was a member of the Tea Party. And we talked about that one time, just between the two of us. And we talked about how, you know, he felt like compromise was a bad thing. I felt like, you know what, compromise can occasionally be a good thing. And I don't have a problem standing up for that. You know, let's face it, the Constitution itself is an exercise in compromise. Now, here's something that I find a little disturbing. And this was a piece that Tim Skubick talked about on MLive, talking about how, you know, there might be something different coming along in the House. And that comes in the form of Todd Corser. He's a Tea Party devotee. And there are some noises that he might want to end up being Speaker of the House, which would be interesting, seeing as he hasn't yet served in the House. Said that he's likely to land a seat in the House after a win this past week in the primary. And he started talking about ways that things need to happen in the House. He says, the time for veneer is past. He has, according to Skubick's column, he says, he asserts Republican caucus needs a strong and firm conservative leader and not one who will court votes from the Democrats to get things passed. Now, that's interesting. That is very interesting. And if he is one that is up for Speaker of the House, that basically tells anybody that is elected as a Democrat to the state house that, well, that's fine that you've been elected. You can come and vote, but you may not really need to even be here. And that's a tough thing. And I think, you know, we have seen what happens when we have seen one party take control of a body and just carry out what they want. You see what happens, you see the aftermath, and you see the division that is involved from that. And it becomes sharp division. So I guess the question that I ultimately ask in this is, you know, what we've got right now is, yeah, you've got some diversity, you've got some disagreement, but in the end, on certain items, there's unity. There's bipartisanship. There's compromise where it needs to take place. But then on the other side, you've got people that have purity of belief. It must be my way, and that's it. And whether that's whether on taxes or on the other side on health care or any number of issues you can bring up. Now, what is the best way to look at this? You know, some would say, well, we need to get enough people of a certain viewpoint elected, and then from those people, we'll be able to create good law. I tend to wonder, you know, you think about it from that standpoint, but what would have been the result if they would have done that when they were putting together the Constitution? I could tell you the answer to that, and the answer is simply that the parties would still be there in Philadelphia talking about it now. I think compromise needs to take place. And I think particularly, I mean, let's take note at the state level. Now, it always hasn't always happened, but there have been times where the parties have come together and said, you know what? We need to compromise and come up with an agreement. We need to be able to agree on some things here to be able to get some things done. Is it perfect? No. Does everybody get what they want? No. But is it ultimately something that unifies us as, at least in this state, does it unify us as Michiganders? And ultimately, does it unify us as Americans? I'd say so. But instead, if you're not going to be willing to work with people on the other side and say, all right, well, how can we get together and do some things? You're not going to get much done. You're not going to get much done except for dividing things out. You're going to have people that are ticked off at one another, just like we've got right now, the people that supported Obamacare and the people that were flat dead set against it. And why were they dead set against it? Because the only compromises that took place were on the left. Now, I'm not here to harp on Obamacare, but I am here to say this. If that's the example we see of what happens when you divvy up amongst yourself and just, well, we're in charge, so we're just going to lead the way we are, and that's that, no compromise, then you see what happens. And I think it's a dangerous precedent to say, well, you know what, we need a strong Speaker of the House in the state legislature that's just going to lead in this direction, no compromise, we're not going to court votes from the other side, we don't really need him. I don't think it's good. I don't think it's something we need here in the state, personally. And I think it's something to be concerned about. I think these things are worthy of discussion. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. 877-382-4280, 382-4280, 803-73 if you'd like to text us and be a part of the program today as we continue ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show right here on 590 WKZO. Four degrees in Kalamazoo, mostly sunny skies. Jeremy Lawrence here with you on 590 WKZO. And that look at your weather we just did, that was brought to you by Heritage Christian Academy, your local pre-K through 12 school where your faith turns friends into family. Jeremy Lawrence here with you, reminding you that if you'd like to be a part of some of the news alerts that we've got, some of you are, and you get some of those news alerts as they come along, there's an easy way to do it. You can text the word NOW to 80373 and be a part of that. But for a little bit longer, we're going to be doing a giveaway, a Dave Ramsey giveaway, when you text NOW to 80373. First of all, you're signing up for news alerts. Second of all, you're signing up to win some Dave Ramsey swag. And to top it off, Dave Ramsey is going to be live and in person in Grand Rapids Thursday, September 11th. We've got tickets for you to be able to go check him out, and to be able to win them, you just simply text NOW to 80373. We're going to have some winners out of the group that have done so. And wouldn't that be great to be able to go check him out, see what he's got to say. If you like listening to the man, you like listening to Dave Ramsey, you like his wisdom, it's a great way to get tickets for free. NOW, the word N-O-W to 80373. Gets you in for the possibility of some of those tickets. So hope you'll do that. We continue ahead here just a little bit. We're going to be talking about the weather forecast with Bob Larson from AccuWeather. And we're going to be talking more with you about the issues of the day as we continue ahead on the Jeremy Lawrence Show on 590 WKZO. Four degrees in Kalamazoo. Oh, it is sunshiny and wonderful out there. Just a couple of minutes, we'll hear from Bob Larson from AccuWeather. Give us a lowdown on what the weekend looks like so that you will be aware of what you need to do this weekend. I don't know. From what we talked about before with him a couple of days ago, seemed like it was going to be a good one. So we'll find out when we chat with him. Also, just a note for you so that you are aware of it. Tiger baseball happening all weekend long, and we are looking at tonight a 6:40 start time for the Tigers as they do battle with the Seattle Mariners. Looks like to be a three-game series as they're going tonight, 6:40, tomorrow night, 6:40, and then Sunday, 12:40 in the afternoon. Now, if you are a fan of the Detroit Lions and you really would like to know what's going on with them, well, we're going to help you out with that as well over on our sister station, 1660 The Fan, tonight, 9 o'clock. We get underway with the Detroit Lions, their second preseason game as they do battle with the Oakland Raiders. You can look forward to, I guess, the start time of that is actually 10 o'clock or something like that. But they get underway with the broadcast at 9. So a little bit of a late night, but sort of a Friday night treat for you if you are a Lions fan. So that's what you're looking forward to sports-wise this weekend. But as I said before, what are you looking forward to weather-wise this weekend? I know a guy that knows. His name is Bob Larson. And, Bob, I have a feeling you're about to tell us.
I am about to tell you. Good afternoon, Jeremy.
Hi there. Happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. Thank you. You as well. And a chilly start this morning. 43 was the overnight low from last night. And that's noteworthy because not only is that well below average, not only is that the chilliest we've seen this month, it is the lowest temperature we have experienced since the 18th of May.
Wow.
About 3 months ago. So it's been a while since it has been that chilly. So a very chilly start to today, but it has turned pleasant this afternoon.
Okay. All right. So looking at the rest of the weekend, you know, for people like me who actually want to have absolutely no excuse to get out there and get fit, is there going to be that kind of weather?
Well, what we're going to find is that it's going to be warming up, but perhaps as important, or if not more important, is the fact that it'll be turning more humid as well. That leads to the word. The word to today is moistening, because we're going to be having a moistening atmosphere. An increase in humidity will be noticed. Not saying it's going to become flat-out muggy and tropical and steamy, but certainly a lot more humid than it is now. Dew point readings are in the upper 40s today, as they have been yesterday. We'll notice the humidity increasing tomorrow and Sunday. And with that increase in moisture comes at least the chance of scattered shower thunderstorm activity, but I would not view this as a rainy weekend. It's just a situation where it's going to start to get a little sticky, and with that comes the possibility of something stray popping up.
Okay.
Highs up, by the way, about 82 tomorrow, 80 or so on Sunday. So it's warmer, but it's certainly not hot.
See, now that was my next question is, you know, with the cooler temperatures we experienced earlier, are we actually going to be in line for some summer-like weather? And so it sounds like we are then.
Yeah, a lot more closer to what is considered average. After 43 last night, it's about 10 degrees warmer tonight. 52 is what we're projecting. Add another 10 degrees to tomorrow night, projected low at 63 Saturday night. And you get the idea, it is indeed warming up.
Okay, so tonight, yet it might still be good to possibly open those windows.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. I don't think really we'll need the AC until sometime tomorrow.
Okay. Well, Bob, it's Friday. We've not got a chance to dig into the numbers, and I know there's some weather nerds listening right now. So, Bob, fire away.
All right. We start with the yearly comparison. And last year at this point, we were still running below average. 2013 was a cooler-than-average year to the tune of about a half degree below average. But look at this year. Through yesterday, we stand at 4.2 degrees below average, which is substantial for this deep into the year. Now, precipitation-wise, this is where we find the big difference. Last year, a wet year, we had about 31 inches of rain to this point last year, 30.99. That was 8.7 inches above average. This year, 17 inches on the button, 4.29 below average. We're talking about a 13-inch difference from last year to this year. We are substantially behind last year, and we're also significantly below average. Although we don't like to hear about the possibility of shower thunderstorm activity, we clearly need some rain at this point. Now, as we look at the month, the August comparison, here we stand at about mid-month. I actually forget this. We know that this month has been cool. It's been a cool August. Mm-hmm. Even more so last year. Last August at this point, we were 4.5 degrees cooler than average. This year, only 2.5 cooler than average. Rainfall-wise, here's a big difference. Last year, almost 4 inches of rain the first half of August. This year, the whole entire first half of the month, only a quarter inch of rain, 0.26, about 3 3/4 inches below last August. So last August was cool by way of it being rainy, a rainy, cool month. This year, it's been cool, not because it's been rainy. It's just we've had some really cool nights, but we clearly have had a dry August to this point.
Okay. All right. Well, Bob, have yourself a fantastic weekend.
And, you as well. Thanks, Jeremy. I'm actually out next week, vacation time, so I will be back to chat week after next.
Okay. Well, enjoy your vacation then.
Thank you.
So hopefully it's a nice one, and we'll talk with one of your colleagues on Monday.
I'll leave you in good hands.
All right. Thanks, Bob. All right. Bob Larson there from AccuWeather, ready for a well-deserved vacation. And definitely whatever your plans are this weekend, I think it looks like it'll be pretty good anyway. Shouldn't be too bad. All right. Well, you know what? I'd like you to have a good weekend by enjoying a first-run movie. And you could do that with these tickets I'm about to give away. They're for a movie called The Giver. This is brand new, out this weekend at Celebration Cinema in Portage. Other theaters as well, but these tickets are good for Celebration Cinema in Portage. And I've got four of them here. So that means not only will you get to go, but you'll get to be the hero to your friends, or you might even get to make some friends right there at the theater. You know, I don't advocate standing out front going, come on, who wants to go to a movie with me? But you could. Derek's done it before.
I have.
Anyway, we're going to go ahead and give these tickets away, and here is how you get on board with it. You give us a call at 877-382-4280 or locally 382-4280. And Derek, we're going to take a little break from trivia, so I need you to tell me what number caller do you think needs to be the winner today?
You know, let's do something a little bit higher today. Let's say 12. Let's do 12.
Caller number 12. Mm-hmm. Okay, you're going to have to work for this one. All right.
There we go.
So, and be very nice to Derek, or he might just lie and say you're caller number 13. Okay, I'm just saying. All right, so while you're calling in for that at 877-382-4280 or locally 382-4280, we're going to talk about some of the things we were talking about earlier. We were talking Justin Amash, how he's calling for some unity and just talking about things, issues back and forth. Also talking about some of the different extremes and how they want to stick to purity of belief. Do you think that's a good idea? We'll continue to talk about it as we roll along. Holding steady at 74 degrees in Kalamazoo. It's 590 WKZO. The Jeremy Lawrence Show continuing ahead here on your afternoon. Well, we had the opportunity just a little bit ago to give away four tickets to go see. This is a first-run movie this weekend called The Giver. It's at Celebration Cinema in Portage. And now we turn to Derek to find out who it was who just had their weekend plans change a little bit.
Ken from Kalamazoo won those tickets.
All right. So, Ken, you're going to get a lot of phone calls from your friends right now because they're going to want to go to the movies with you. I'm just going to say this. Like, it's up to you. But, you know, if you don't want to, if you just want to take your family, stand firm, okay? I'm just going to tell you. So congratulations on one of those tickets, Ken. We appreciate you being a part of the program. Of course, some good movie tickets and that kind of thing coming up next week as we get together once again on the Jeremy Lawrence Show. All right. Well, I talked earlier, and if you missed out, if you're just joining us, I talked a little bit earlier, a couple of things. I'm seeing some patterns that look good and don't look so good, depending on how you look at it. Justin Amash, when he won the primary and did so in a big way, he came out in his victory speech and had some pretty pointed comments to make to his opponent, calling things nasty and horrible. He demanded an apology from Brian Ellis for the district, for his family, just for the things that were said. And among the things that were said in that campaign, if you hadn't noticed, he was being called a friend of Al-Qaeda by his opposition in the primary. In the primary, in fighting like that. And he said, you know what, we don't need to be doing that. We don't need to be tearing each other up like that. And I think, you know, another thing he's doing to show that, you know, he feels like this is something that's very important, he sat down for a cup of coffee with his Democratic challenger with his Democratic challenger, Bob Goodrich. He sat down about half an hour. They discussed, you know what, we want to have debates. We want to be able to talk about the issues at hand and that kind of thing. Now, it'll be interesting to see if it continues to head that way, but a promising start anyway. And I think for Justin Amash, he's got to feel a lot better about it because there wouldn't be that nastiness there. At least he hopes there won't be. I don't know. I don't know enough about Bob Goodrich to say whether or not he's going to be all about the issues or whether he's going to get into that. I don't know. I don't have any idea. But that seems like it's a pretty good sign, particularly from those of us that say, you know what, we need to get away from the name-calling. We need to get away from all the nasty junk that takes place. We need to be able to, at the very least, disagree on individual issues, but at the end of it all, be able to at least stand the sight of one another and talk with one another. Now, on the other side of things, there was a piece that was brought up on MLive, Tim Skubick talking about this, about Todd Corser. He's running for a seat in the House, be his first time being elected to the State House representatives. And he's already talking about that he might want to end up being Speaker of the House. He said that the Speaker needs to come from the incoming freshman class. I find that very unusual. And I honestly don't know that it's going to happen, but I find it very unusual that he would position for that. One of the things he's positioning for is we need to have a strong speaker, somebody that's going to be able to keep everybody together and not go to the other side to get votes for things, which tends to hint to me that, you know what, Democrats need not even come. And I think that that's a bad precedent to be set. You know, you can do that if you're in the majority at this point in time. And let's face it, at some point down the line, Democrats will probably have a majority again. I don't know that it'll happen soon, but at some point it will happen. Just as we know at some point there will be a Republican in the White House again. It'll happen. We don't know when, but it'll happen. In this case, I think if you know that sort of thing is going to happen, you at the very least need to know, all right, I've got to be able to live with the people on the other side of the aisle. I've got to be able to get with them and help them out occasionally as they help us out. That's going to mean some compromise. That's going to mean getting together and doing things together. And the thing I brought up earlier is we see the examples of what when you don't work together with the other side, what happens? We see a big national example of it. It's called the Affordable Care Act. And you know what's happened ever since that thing has been passed. The other side has said, we hate it and we want it to go away. And there's, you know, there's reasoning behind that. The idea being that, all right, well, we hate it and we want it to go away because we weren't a part of this. Our ideas weren't a part of this. And if you remember, the only agreements that took place were things like the Cornhusker kickback and the Louisiana Purchase, where senators from those states, their votes were, quote, bought with different concessions for those particular states. And you'll note that one of those senators is not running for re-election, I think is gone at this point, and the other is fighting for her life in Louisiana at this point. I think, you know, divisiveness like that, where you just say, we're in charge, that's it, take a seat. That's not the way that it needs to work. The way things were set up in politics in America, whether it be in the state of Michigan or otherwise, it's set up with the idea that, you know what, we're going to have to compromise with one another, aren't we? We're going to have to work together to be able to solve the problems of this country. And that means, at the very least, setting some of this stuff aside once you get in and elected. Now, I'm not saying that, assuming Republicans retain control of the House, the State House, that they should put a weak speaker in there. Not at all. But I think a speaker that knows when it is time, when there is wisdom to be able to say, hey, let's go talk to the Democrats. Let's bring them in on this so that together we can solve problems. Because in the end, you're going to have a much stronger state for it. And it's going to be good all the way around. That's what I think. We're going to continue on this next hour. We're going to be talking about the shooting that went on in Missouri and some other things as well as the Jeremy Lawrence Show continues on 590 WKZO.
This is Kalamazoo's news station and Kalamazoo's home for Detroit Tiger baseball. 590 WKZO, Kalamazoo.